Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Welcome to Man to Man Podcast. Before we begin our episode, we got to shout out Anchor for making this podcast even possible. Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. It's free, easy to use for recording and uploading your episodes. And the best part, they distribute the podcast for you so you can be heard on places like Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It also allows you to make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Anchor is everything you need to make a podcast, all in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the best NBA podcast out right now. This is your co-host, Andy Elliott.
Alongside your co-host, Liam, the Hoopstar Nash.
All right, guys, so we are going to talk all about the All-Star events that occurred in Chicago this past weekend. But before that, we got some breaking news. We got a new program up, and we're going to go start doing our episodes on YouTube Live. So check us out every Sunday night. We're going to start recording episodes. We were in Chicago this weekend. Your boy went to the All-Star game. It was lit. Liam, let's just go into it. What you got, brother?
You know, we had a whole bunch of events going on, and we started off with the celebrity game, right? Team Wilbon against Stephen A. Smith, man. Team Wilbon actually beat Stephen A. Smith 62-47. And Common, you know, the Chicago native, he won MVP there. He only had 10 points, and I think they just gave it to him just because he was from Chicago, because...
Oh, you counted him out like that?
Because my boy Famous Los went crazy again this year with 25, bro. That was...
Quavo wasn't looking too hot, though, this year, was he?
Yeah, he went like 1-for-10 or something, bro. It was weird. Biggest thing from this game, I think, was... Stephen A. Smith getting the technical. My boy Stephen A. got a tech, bro. He was arguing some call. He walks out on the floor, and he was kind of calm at the beginning, and then afterwards, like, I think the ref said something to him or something, and then he just went crazy for a second.
What happened? Was there a play that he had a technical or?
It was just a missed call or something, or it was a foul call on his team. And they were trying to, you know, fight back a little bit. And he told First Take when he was on there, like...
I thought he was going to suit up. That's the thing. Because He was talking all on Twitter. Someone was like, Stephen A, suit up. He was like, I swear I'm going to do it. It's blasphemous.
Blasphemous, man. Blasphemous.
Who else did we see out there, bro?
Other notable stars. We had Chelsea Gray from the WNBA. Quentin Richardson. Also, they call him NBA legends. I don't even consider Quentin Richardson... an NBA legend, but he was in the NBA.
I think they call them NBA legends because they have that National Basketball Retired Players Association.
Yeah, probably something like that. I'm not 100%
I think
sure.
He's a part of that, so I think that's why he's called an NBA legend.
Okay, that makes more sense. Yeah, Kane Brown, country singer, Chance the Rapper was out there. Quavo was out there. My guy Ronnie 2K, bro.
Was he having green granny apples or nah?
Nah. He played a little bit, but he's like just an awkward dude, bro. But whatever. The owner of the Bucks, Mark Lousy, also looked like he did not want to be out there. But
didn't have a little Giannis in him.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how he got. He was like one of the only owners that they asked to be a part of the game.
He's been pretty popular of a name when it comes to celebrity games. I think he was in a
last year's game.
He might have been.
I think it was him. I think it was Mark Larcy.
I don't know. It might have been, but the NBA has only asked him. So it was just like, all right, cool. Jay Wilson from the WNBA, and then shout out to our NBA sister over there. And then Darius Miles, also quote unquote the NBA legend, but whatever. So my question to you. I got one question for
Damn,
you.
Damn, bro, you made it through that one, didn't you? Yeah, it's hilarious.
I got one question, though. Do you like the celebrity all-star game? Or what's going on here?
I didn't watch it. Like, I'm for real asking you these questions right now. Like, we got them on our dock, but I have absolutely zero recollection of what happened. I have no idea, bro. I mean,
do you like it though? Is that a thing for you? Like, are we?
What else are they gonna put on Friday night? I feel like they can cut it. I feel like they can cut it out. But at the same time, it's also like an up and fun event that's not so serious. And then following that, you have the Rising Stars, and then all the celebrities are in Chicago or wherever it's played at every single year, and it gets everyone kind of to the arena to start out the weekend. We got a bunch of celebrities playing. It's gonna be funny because they're all trash. And I think it's just a good way to start the weekend. So I honestly like the celebrity game. I didn't get a chance to watch it, and I was on my way home. That's a lie. Didn't even watch it.
But I mean, I'll tell you right now, I don't like it at all.
But Stephen A. As a coach, I would much rather have him see Stephen A. Smith on the court. Because he's got buckets every now and then.
Yeah, he does. He does hoop a little bit, right?
Yeah.
He does got some jumper shots on him, don't he?
Honestly, I'd almost rather watch the celebrity game than the Rising Stars game, though.
Really?
Yeah.
So that takes us to the Rising Star game, then, at least. We have two split teams. I don't know. When did they start splitting the...
I didn't know that was a thing. The world and USA?
I'm not sure about that. I have no idea why.
Because now what I'm thinking is, are there enough people to put on that roster for the world?
I think so. Now that's kind of what they've been trying to do. You know, like we have a big influence on having players from all over, not just the U.S. Like, for example, I know like a Luka Doncic, he's been watching the NBA since he was like 13 years old. You know what I mean? You never know. Like, the NBA is influencing children all over the world at this point in time, you know?
Again, it's a kind of a boring game, but the jerseys are different than the All-Star jerseys, obviously. And, you know, it's cool to see Ja and Zion go against Luka. And what was the score to that game? Miles Bridges won MVP, right? Yeah, the score was 151-131. Obviously, you're not going to see a lot of defense in these type of games. But Team USA, I feel like, has the advantage almost every single year. I mean, we got guys out of Memphis playing, you know, against the world. I don't care where you come from. Mad respect for coming from wherever outside the country. But we're holding it down in the States, man. I think we've won it the past 3 years at least.
On that note, for the world side, they did keep it close until like midway through the third quarter. And then it was just like, all right, the U.S. was like, I guess they stopped playing games with these little guys or what. But pretty much just said, fuck it, and started scoring like 25 points like out of the blue. But so is this actually a good way for, you know, maybe a rising star in the NBA to actually kind of prove himself to the rest of the league of like, yeah, I got asked to be a rising star, and now am I like being able to be recognized as a future like superstar or like at least a star in the league? Or is this just like kind of common courtesy if you did well in your first couple of years?
I think it could be both, because when I'm looking at it, I didn't even watch this game, to be real with you.
I didn't watch this one either.
I mean, yeah, it could give them some validation to get to the next level, I guess, if they're balling out in that game. But you got guys like Ayton, Josh Okogie, Moritz Wagner, Alexander Walker. Like, who is that, bro?
Wagner played with the Lakers, though, back when they were trash, but he still made a name for himself.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it. You know, you got guys like Gilgeous Alexander, Svi, right. Mikaluk. Yeah, I mean, I guess these guys are going to be all-stars in a couple of years. But for the majority of it right now, yeah, I think it's just a filler spot for this game. Let's go into the skills challenge. Let's talk something that we actually want to talk about. We got our guy, Domantas Sabonis. Shout out Pacer Nation. Didn't know Sabonis was going to be in the skills challenge, but...
Yeah, you texted me and were like, you know Sabonis is going to be in the skills challenge? And I was like, yeah, hello.
Yeah, I know. And I guess he got asked to be in it last... I didn't know. I guess you can ask to be in a skills challenge, but basically the skills challenge is you take a ball, you got a guy on one side and a guy on the other side, same side of the court. You get a 3-2-1 countdown. You grab the ball, you dribble around obstacles, you go to the other end and you pass it into a little hole. You get three chances to pass it into the hole until you can advance. Once you do that, you got to go all the way back down to where you first started, make a layup, then go all the way back down and make a three. And we saw that Sabonis actually was facing the defending champion, Jason Tatum, from last year, first round. And who'd he beat in the next one? Okay, it was Middleton, and then he ended up playing Bam Adebayo, which is kind of funny to see because these skills challenges, as you can see with the league, what's going on is these bigger guys are being able to do more, like dribble the ball up and down the court, being able to shoot threes, like pull up, knock down a tray ball. And we saw that Bam actually beat Sabonis at the very end. But Sabonis, big guy, then he doesn't shoot a lot of threes, but he still made it to the finals. So super dope to watch him advance to those rounds.
Also, this year, you don't have like a big. These are like, you know, your stretch four guys. The first person that comes to my mind is like an Embiid doing the skills challenge. You know?
Embiid would be obviously, so bad at it.
I was going to say, obviously, a true big would be, you know, he would struggle. But these, you know, stretch four guys, they're asked to do these types of things in real game situations.
Right.
So I enjoyed watching it. Kind of bummed that Sabonis didn't get that plug and get that
done. I think I just got way too hyped for the first round. Him just win.
They like shot like three or four times, didn't they? Yeah. Each on that last round. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on?
Yeah, for sure. So tough luck. I mean, that's typical Indiana basketball. You know, we're so close, but not yet. Well, there.
We can't figure it out.
So that was actually on Saturday night. And then we have the 3-point contest. So this night on Saturday night, we have the skills challenge starting at 8 p.m., the 3-point contest, and then the dunk contest. Liam, if you want to go into the 3-point contest a little bit, who you had as a pick to win it all before it all started, and then ultimately seeing who the winner was, were you surprised?
Right. So I guess we could have this conversation now just because, like, I know you're happy about this, but I had actually Devin Booker.
There he goes, man. D-Book, come on, showing us some love, baby.
Getting mad that he got snubbed in the first place, and I had him coming out here, which he did. He performed very well in this. I mean, he put the highest score in the final round before Buddy Hield stepped in, who actually ended up winning it. But he did really well. I had him winning it just because he had that chip on his shoulder. Like, all right, y'all didn't really pick me for the All-Star game. I got lucky in here.
You know, they still didn't even give him the full gear to go out in the 3-point contest. He was missing his draws. They get All-Star draws. They didn't give him the draws, is what he said.
They didn't give him the draws. Mm-hmm. That's why he lost.
He went commando, bro. That's why when I was looking at the screen a little bit more of a double triple take, I was like, okay, what's going on? Our kids here.
You are so fucked up. Okay, so back about the 3-point contest. So they added the new Mountain Dew zone, which was worth 4 points. I thought it was kind of cool.
I thought it was worth three.
Was it three or
it's
four?
It's three, because three, okay. The regular ball is one, and then the money ball, you can get a money rack, two. Is two. Okay. And then, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, so they added that. So it's worth 3 points, and, you know, it's farther back. I think it's like 30-plus feet or something, 29-plus feet or whatever. But I think that was cool because some of these guys, like Trae Young, obviously Stephen Curry, even Buddy Hield sometimes, they'll pull up from this, you know, couple feet behind the 3-point line. So it's obviously in their array of shots, and they do pull these in game situations. So I like to see in that. Also just kind of gave maybe hope to these like weaker shooters, I would
call. Seeing Trae Young come out first, he also went out the first round. Like, that's got to be pretty nerve wracking. You could tell some of the guys were pretty nervous. Like, Trae Young ended up with only 15.
Well, shooting first in general is going to be hard, isn't it? I would hate to be first.
I wouldn't want to be first, but I'd like to be second or third to establish like a score. Because at the end, like if you're like, which is Joe Harris, who won it last year from the Nets,
yeah.
He was one of the last guys, man. He had to get like a whopping like 28 to just go into that final round.
Well, see, I would like to go towards the end just because like I'll have more of a sense of like what number I got to beat. You know what I mean?
Right. But when it's up there, man, it's tough. And you see Trae Young having a lot of nerves in that United Center. Only ended up with 15. Easily knew that he was going to be out. Even guys like Devontae Graham, where he's a good shooter. He airballed like 5 shots. And you can see these guys like 21, 22 years old. I know actually Devontae was a 4-year kid out of Kansas, probably like 23. But yeah, I mean, these guys had a lot of nerves, man. And one that was very surprising to me actually was Bertans.
Bertans, yeah.
Out of Washington. And he ended up in the top 3.
Yeah, he made it to the final. So Buddy Hield ended up winning. Kind of cool ending. Devin Booker, I think it was 26 points. Bertans finished with like 22 in that last round. And then Buddy Hield came down to the last shot. So it was as exciting as it can get if you're watching it for the enjoyment of it. So it was cool. Came down, made the last shot, and ended up winning with 27. My question right here, I have one question for you.
You got a lot. I'm ready for them.
I know we both shooters out here, okay? So this is kind of for both of us.
That's what the white boys do.
That's exactly what we do.
We are not athletic.
I got two questions. What station are you putting your money balls at? And then after you answer that one, how many points are you putting up right now in the current stage that you're in right now?
You're going to take the question that I asked you when I was watching the 3-point.
I know. I just thought about that.
That's funny, bro.
So where are you putting your money balls?
I can't remember who it was, but they were playing it so cool when they were going through it, and their money rack was at the very end, and they only got like 3 of their money ball shots up. So I would do it in the middle. Just have a straight line drive, money rack right there. It's in between the Mountain Dew shot and the other Mountain Dew shot. You go to the Mountain Dew shot. Maybe if you smack it, you're feeling good. Money ball at times. Smack, smack. And then, Mountain Dew, maybe smack. That could be game changer streak right there. I'd probably just put it in the middle. What was the second one? How many do you think I would get?
Yeah, how much are you putting up?
I don't know, 4.
You're putting up 4?
Dude, you're playing in the United Center. This is when I asked you. Like, people don't know Liam, scored 1,000 points in high school, and that's all he did was shoot it and then said, fuck it, I'll pull and do the stupid Superman and talk shit to the other coaches. It was kind of bizarre to watch, actually. I'd never seen a kid do that at that young of an age. Said you would put up 20? I don't agree with that.
I could put up 20 right now. First of all, I'm putting my money back first because I'm coming out busting that shit. So I'm going at least 4 or 5 in the first rack. I'm on a good streak, and then I'm shooting.
If you miss all your money rack balls, though, then you're just like,
and I better pick that shit up later down the road. I better hit both Mountain Dew shots. I think I could hit 20.
You're in one of the biggest arenas with all celebrities watching you right now. You think you could just go out there and hit 20?
Hell yeah, I could hit 20, bro. All
right. I got faith in my boy Hoopstar. I think he's got 20 in him.
So let's move on to probably the most talked about event. Kind of controversial about the Slam Dunk contest.
Yeah.
Tell me about that and what your thoughts are. We didn't really talk about it before. We usually talk about stuff, between the two of us before our episodes, just because we're kind of familiar with like what we're going to talk about maybe. But we haven't talked about this yet, so I'm curious really to see what your stance is on.
Honestly, I thought the first dunk by Dwight Howard was lit. Did you see that dunk? He goes up in the air and he does a reverse 360 with one hand, palms over one hand. But when he's coming in on the left side. When he jumps in the air, he like does this like statue thing like in the air, and then does another 180 and crams it. And I'm like, how did he not get a 50 on that? That was insane. I mean, he
probably iced the shit out of his knees after that.
Probably sick, coach. His knees felt a little ashy afterwards. Watching it was crazy, man. Like, seeing Pat Connaughton, like, a skater boy outfit, kind of like typical white dude. And then he had, what's his name, Yelich from the Milwaukee Brewers, just hold the ball above his head. And Pat Connaughton from the Milwaukee Bucks jumped over him, did a dunk that was actually very similar to the Aaron Gordon dunk when he dunked over Taco. So I actually turned off the dunk contest after I saw that because everyone was hyping up that dunk between him and Derrick Jones. And I was like, that's game. And Aaron Gordon's got snubbed before. We've seen that. And I turned it off. And I'm texting Chad Newby. Shout out Chad. He's a huge Miami Heat fan. He said, bro, Derrick Jones Jr. just won the contest. And I didn't even want to. I didn't even believe him. So I still don't understand why Aaron Gordon lost. But I think it was because it was such a similar dunk to Pat Connaughton.
Now that you say that and we mentioned it, you're right. The dunk was similar. I do agree with that. But at the same time, I think the judges were getting pressured. You got to, like, stop giving them 50s. Like, we got to end this. Like, it's time to go home. Like, you know, people got to go to sleep. We can't just stay out here dunking the ball the whole night. You know what I mean?
I didn't like the judges this year, man. I think the OG judges are what we saw in the 2K, like, 12s. When you got the Jordan, you got the Dominique Wilkins, you got the Bill Russell. Right. You got the Kobe.
I do like that.
Remember that?
I do like that. Yeah.
Throw out the fucking Jumbotron.
Like both of the dunkers deserve to win. I don't know really what their thought process of giving it to Jones Jr. I told you actually before this, I think they should have just split, you know, have two dunk champions.
They cannot split a trophy, dude.
They can get another one made.
Like they I both don't deserve think so it. Out of gold. Nah, I don't think that's happening. No one. That's like the equivalent to like a participation trophy. Like no one wants that. Everyone wants first.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then.
But props to Derrick Jones Jr. So that's two Miami guys that won during the All-Star weekend. Derrick Jones Jr. with the dunk contest and Bam Adebayo with the skills right. challenge. So props to Miami, dude. They're going places. But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was kind of rigged, but. It's cool to see Taco come out there. He was like, that wasn't planned at all.
No.
I was scared for my life.
I think they were just like trying to come up with as many ideas off the spot as possible. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like when you go into a dunk contest, you have like maybe four that you're going to bring out.
Yeah.
These guys both dunked it like 7 or 8 times.
I kind of thought the Pat Connaughton, when he dunked over Giannis and then threw it off the backboard for a split second and then dunked it. That was one of the most underrated dunks of the dunk contest.
Yeah. Candace Parker's face was like, yeah. What? White boy can jump. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was nuts, man.
But let's go into, obviously, our game of the week, the All-Star game. But we'll stop and say, you know, we're representing all over the place out here, okay? Man-to-man's everywhere in the NBA community.
Come on, baby.
Andy gets to go to the game this year.
Check him out, baby. Check him out.
Yes, sir. One of those tickets should have been mine, but it is all right. I got stuck here. But, yeah, so I just want to know, like, obviously, I've never been to an All-Star game. Just take me through what the atmosphere was like.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm jealous. Of it.
I want to give a huge shout out to Colin Azzo, one of my buddies who I went to school with last year at Tennessee. Huge shout out. He texted me like an hour before. He said, yo, I got you some tickets. He works for ESPN. He works for the sports marketing department up in New York. And he hooked it up, man. I mean, those tickets, you know, were insane. Like at least 5 to 1,000, right? Surprisingly, it didn't sell out. So my first thought was, okay, he can probably get me in, but am I just going to have to stand somewhere? Like, I didn't know what was going on.
Right, because I was looking at tickets for next year, because next year the All-Star game is in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And they're already at, like, $450 a piece. I'm like...
Yeah. Yeah, and it was super dope, dude. Like, he texted me probably an hour before the game. I had been talking to him all weekend. I was super jealous. Him and his team got to go eat with a bunch of, you know, their clients or different NBA players. When Brian Windhorst is there, he was at some luncheon with Magic Johnson doing his speech over Kobe. Saturday morning, he and his team actually woke up at like 5:30 and balled on the United Center court. Just a bunch of old white dudes just going ham on the United Center court. So I was just super jealous. I was like, dude, you got to get me in. And he finally texted me like an hour before the game. Like I said, I got in. And I thought he was just going to be like, all right, here's two tickets, like, peace. But it was super cool because he actually went up to where we were sitting at, where these tickets are 301, section 301, all the way up there, right? And he actually went up there with us and sat with us when he could chill down at courtside and watch the game and stand there. So, man, it was crazy. Like, I got these souvenir cups. They got the NBA All-Star Chicago logo on them. You got these wristbands. you know, the Tennessee games, and they do this at the Preds games also, where these things light up and it makes the crowd look super cool when a bunch of the, you know, things are going on. Teams score, like say Team LeBron score for the blue team, it would light up blue, vice versa for Giannis and red. But it was so fun, man. And it was cool because you got Team LeBron, you got Team Giannis, and both of them had their own charity organizations. And so you got those two charity organizations behind the goal, like where the student sections would be, about 100 kids each. And after every quarter, whoever won that quarter, that charity would receive $100,000 from either Team LeBron or Team Giannis.
That's cool, yeah.
So Team LeBron won the first quarter, Giannis won the second quarter, so it was 100 apiece. And then the third quarter was actually lit because I think Team Giannis was down two, right? And there was like 20 seconds or something like that, and Gobert gets an alley-oop and ties the game, or ties the quarter, excuse me, and then it goes into fourth quarter. So that was a tie of that quarter, so no one got the $100,000. The fourth quarter is now played for $300,000. And probably, Giannis's team was up, I'd say 15 or something like that.
They were up like 12, I think it. I think they were up 12 going into the fourth.
Right.
So just for the people that don't know, the new ending for the All-Star game this year, so it was called like the Elam ending. And so basically all the scores through the first three quarters are going to be totaled. And whoever scored the most amount of points in the first three quarters, they decided to add 24 points to the ending score. So example, if Team LeBron scored 100 points after three quarters, the target score for the fourth quarter, no time on the clock, they're going to play to 124.
I was reading this all over Twitter like later tonight, and how like Adam Silver brought this All-Star game back, and I was actually watching this. It was like a different perspective. I was like, man, it was cool. But then when I was reading about it and then watching, I was like, damn, it was actually that cool. Because it was probably 150 to 150, and the target score was, like you said, 157. Azo's, Collins got this thing around his neck where it's basically he can get in for free anywhere he wants to. He goes, yo, let's go down there. And I was like, all right, let's do it. So we get down there in the 100 row, the section 100, and it's a totally different perspective now. It looks crazy. Remember when we went to the game, bro, and we finessed and we went to like the third or fourth row, and it just looked like a dream. It looked like a movie out there. Imagine seeing the best players in the world, like right there.
Especially
when you're that close.
In that ending, because in that fourth quarter, it did get competitive. Like they were actually, you know, going at.
Like
it wasn't like the first three quarters of just, you know, kind of throwing oops and having fun. That fourth quarter got competitive.
Right, and it was probably 154 to 153, and Team LeBron is dribbling the ball down. LeBron pulls like a 40 footer. He tried to end the game right there. Couldn't do it. And then I think Giannis's team scored. It's 155 to actually LeBron and Giannis's team scored. So it's 156 LeBron, 155 Giannis. So game point. And so LeBron, they're bringing it down the court, passes it into AD. Actually, you know what? Let me back drive it a little bit. There was a goaltending call. LeBron went up for a layup to try to end the game or something like that, and Giannis packed it, and it was goaltending, or it was like a point before, and they actually called it off. And same thing, I think that next play, Harden did a push off and then drilled a three to win the game. They called offensive foul, and it was crazy, man. People were going at it, but then LeBron throws it into AD. AD gets fouled by Lowry. It was a mismatch. Obviously, Nick Nurse for Team Giannis's team had to call a challenge, right? Because, you know, he was going to end it on free throws. And that was kind of the thing where I stopped recording. I was like, man, you can't end it on free throws, man. So
I heard something, though. I was going through my Twitter, and there's been a couple people that mentioned for an ending like that, if you get fouled on the last shot, your free throw should be three-pointers. Like, you should shoot your two free throws from the three-point line to try to end the game. Because, like, free throws to end the game, like you were saying, that's boring. Nobody wants to see, like, oh, free throws. Like, this guy, AD, is 90% from the free throw line.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's going to make one of two.
You know? I honestly thought it may have been an offensive foul. because AD was kind of pulling on Lowry. It could have gone both ways, man. If that goaltending call, it looked like a goaltend, but it got, you know, bounced back.
Lowry was all over AD's arm.
He was. But I don't like that idea, though. I don't like the whole three-pointer. I think that's kind of whack. I think when you say that, it kind of reminds me and you playing at the Y, and it's like, who touched the ball last out of bounds? Shoot for it. Ball don't lie. You shoot a three. I think they just throw it out of bounds. Like, run it, dude. Run so another
how
play.
How do you end it? If you get fouled on the last play, how are you ending it?
No free throws. No free throws at the end.
You just take it out of bounds
again. Okay. And that's what I thought it was going to be.
So then what would stop the team just from fouling the entire time? You know what I mean? Like, what point? They'll just like, oh, you're about to shoot it. Let me just grab you real quick. You're about to make a layup, but I tackle your ass.
At that point, it's street ball, baby. You know what I'm saying? Those guys play street ball plenty of times before, man. That's how you play at the Y when you're playing a 24, man. Like, you're going to foul, but, like, someone's going to end the game. And I think that's how they should do it. But, man, like, it was the coolest experience that I ever gotten to experience. I'll remember it forever.
So after the game, you went by the TNT station.
Yeah. So when I first walked in, when I first got checked in, there's the Michael Jordan statue. And then they had the TNT setup right there. And I'm like, oh, dude, that's lit. Like, they're going to have it at halftime out here. Let's go out here at half. That's why I even said before half. And the halftime show was awesome too, man. To see Chance the Rapper, DJ Khaled, who else was it? Lil Wayne and someone else. But I was like, let's go out to the TNT thing. But no, the TNT, those guys at halftime were in the actual, you know, they're on the side, like above, like where the guys come out of the tunnel. I got a train. But then after that, Kawhi won the MVP, and that's where they had the post game TNT. So I was right there. I got to see Shaq, Charles, Kenny the Jet Smith, and Uncle Ernie, and Kawhi, man. It was pretty fucking cool to watch, honestly.
Well, that's cool. So if you couldn't tell from what we were talking about, Team LeBron wins it on free throws by Anthony Davis, 157-155. It was pretty cool to watch from the TV, you know. But,
well, everyone was saying how Adam Silver, like, he saved the All-Star game.
Well, I don't. You probably didn't know this, but before the game, they interviewed Chris Paul. So the NBA is starting to do this, like, on court interviewing, like, while they're warming up. That dude's got a piece in his ear, and he's shooting shots, answering questions from the guy. So they were interviewing Chris Paul,
right?
And Chris Paul was the first guy to mention it to Adam.
I did hear about this. Yeah,
yeah. So he he was the one that mentioned, like, hey, how about you try the Elam ending for the All-Star game, because he watched it in the three or the whatever it is. And he was like, yeah, that's really competitive. The only thing I'm worried about is when the first three quarters happen of the game, if one team's just, you know, really lax and, you know, is not really catching up or staying up with the other team, it could just be a complete blowout, though. You know what I mean?
That's pretty much what it was, because you saw the Team LeBron win the first quarter, and then Giannis, like, they beat him in that quarter, like, 51-30 or something like that, and they were up by, like, 15 points. But overall, man, it was such a cool experience. Like, so many famous people were in there, bro. Like, you had Spike Lee, you had Quavo, you had Offset. Let me tell you a funny story about Offset, actually. Offset kind of sucks, man, because, like, we went down there.
Whoa, just don't.
When we went down there and we're watching, you have, like, Megan Rapinoe, Sue Bird, you got Chance the Rapper, Spike Lee, you got Kim Kardashian, Kanye, J. Cole. Everyone is standing up. And then you got Offset just chilling, looking at his fucking phone, dude. And Cardi is up. Cardi B is up, bro. Offset is sauced out of his mind. And he's just...
Oh, yeah. He's not sober to that.
And he didn't know what was going on. I was like, dude, look at Offset, man. He's just looking at his phone right now. I don't know. He's kind of a lame, bro.
That's funny. So one question that has been raised and I've also looked at is, obviously, you didn't watch the Rising Stars game, didn't watch the Celebrity game. I watched the Celebrity game. I watched a little bit of Rising Star. What makes the All-Star weekend better? Because a lot of people out there are like, oh, the All-Star weekend, it's like really boring. Mm-hmm. Even the All-Star game is boring. Like, what can we do to make it better? Because, like, this year we went in the right direction. We took a step in the right direction with the All-Star game.
Right.
Because that obviously was a lot better than last year.
Right.
But like, what fixes do we make to the All-Star Weekend to make it fun for the viewers? Because obviously, if you go to it, you're going to have fun, right?
Right.
Like, you had fun going to it. But for the viewers at home, like, what do you add to All-Star Weekend to make it more enjoyable?
I think that's a good question, man. Because like, for me, I think how they did the All-Star game is going to change how people watch the game, especially for next year. Like, that was the coolest thing I got to experience. I know I watched it live. I don't know what they could do. I can't think like that on the spot, but I will say, like, me being in the city of Chicago and just seeing how many, like, famous people were here and how many celebrities were here. I even went to Tao on Saturday and, like, tried to go see G-Eazy, and he never, you know, obviously he never showed up, which was so lame. I spent, like, $140 at that whole night. Like $70 on a fucking ticket, but everyone was there. And I don't know if it depends on the city. I think you should just try to just go. Like, if you're that close to it, I'll tell you, there were more famous people than you could even imagine. Like, everyone that was famous or a celebrity or like someone cool that you would want to see is in that city, especially in Chicago, man. That's a good question, though. I don't know. I think the All-Star game is definitely changed. It's definitely going to have an impact on how viewers watch the game for next year.
Right. Well, my thing is, you either get rid of the celebrity game or the rising star or both. Like, just take out that first night of stuff. Friday night.
You can't do that, bro. There's too much anticipation.
But those are the least watched events anyway. So why not just take them out?
Because people want to drink on Friday night.
Then let them drink, but just,
what are they gonna drink to? They can't drink to any like celebrities playing basketball. I don't know. I think keep it, dude. Like,
okay, well, I don't like
one weekend.
I just wish it was more viewed than it is, because the NBA gets a bad rep for their All-Star weekend compared to other people.
I think numbers will go up, bro, next year.
Yeah,
I think it was.
I mean, I think it already has from last year to this year. People, I mean, all over Twitter, like, flipped the game.
We should do something next year for our viewers during the All-Star weekend, like do a giveaway or something, like tag us or something, like say you watched one of the games or something like that. I'll throw you something, throw you an All-Star ticket, baby.
Player of the week. We'll try to do this week. And
are we doing player of the week?
I'll give you props on player of the week.
Okay.
Because I'm going to say Devin Booker gets my player.
Let's go, baby.
Obviously, if you guys don't know, I told Andy earlier in the year, Devin Booker's not an All-Star. Then he gets lucky because Damian Lillard goes out with an injury and pretty much becomes his first All-Star. And I say, if I'm Devin Booker, I don't want to be an All-Star under those circumstances. I want to earn my first one. Like, if he was an All-Star last year and then, like, okay, maybe this year do you want to do it? And yeah, but they potentially snubbed him out of the biggest All-Star bid of his career, and then he just happens to be an All-Star. Good for him. I mean,
yeah, you can't give up that kind of opportunity. And it was cool to even see like Dame was showing out and shooting at halftime, and
you gotta
give it to D-Book, even though him and Sabonis, I tell you what, man, Sabonis was so fucking funny to watch out there. He was clueless, bro. Although he's not up to their level.
I was gonna say that's not his setting though in the first place, you know? Like,
he doesn't know what to do.
I don't see Sabonis, like, that's not his, you know, atmosphere. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
He's like the guy that's at the party just standing in the corner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's like, you kind of have to have him there, but he doesn't really know what he's doing. But, like, you don't know what you would do without him type of person. Right. For my player of the week, I'd probably say Kawhi. Just because, like, Kawhi, I was watching the game. While I was watching the game, seen LeBron's down the whole time, and I look up and I'm like, Kawhi's got 25? He just was low key about that. And obviously, he won the MVP. This is a guy who won it in Toronto, won MVP in the finals. Now he's just adding to his resume and his legacy. So I got Kawhi as my player of the week. It's pretty dope to see him live. Did you actually see where Kawhi was sitting down going into that post press conference where he sits down? They usually have like the Gatorade right there. And I was actually watching on Instagram tonight, and it said, like, Kawhi is robot. And he sits down. You can hear him in the microphone. He goes, I'm not sponsored by Gatorade.
What?
Throws the Gatorade down. Oh, man. It was a fun weekend, though, for sure, bro.
So we'll run through our Pacers segment real quick. We only played two games this week. Went 1-1. First game was against the Nets. kind of salty to talk about this one just because we should have won this game. I don't know what our deal. We coming into this game, we lost like five straight. We needed a game to get turned back onto the right heading, and this game was just not it.
We lost by one. We can't close.
Yeah, it was just not a good game all around. Like, you know, I feel like we just keep saying this every week. The Pacers have to beat teams that they're supposed to beat, and the Nets are one of those teams that we just should put a fucking hammer down on them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, especially with no Kyrie, too.
Right. But it was what it is. I mean, we lost it 105-106. It was a home game, so I mean, that was another reason why we should have won it, but whatever. DeAndre Jordan was probably their most impactful player with 11 points and 19 rebounds on that game.
Just can't close, man. Can't close. Yeah. And like, that's the whole thing. I'll let you go into the Bucks. We needed that. We beat the Bucks. If you want to go into that, which we definitely needed before All-Star break.
Right. But you got to note that we don't play good against a team without Giannis. So obviously this was a game that I marked down that we should win just knowing that Giannis wasn't playing. So it was good to see that. We needed this game really to like go into All-Star weekend and be like, yeah,
right,
you know, we're doing better and kind of get some swagger about ourselves. But yeah, we won that one 119-111. Pretty much not a close game. We were up at like 20 plus. At halftime and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They made a run down the end, but it wasn't anything serious. TJ Warren, though.
Warren looks good, man.
Yeah. Big game from TJ Warren. He had 35-7. But, I mean, the real test is after this All-Star break, right?
Right.
So we'll see
what happens. We'll get after it. I got him.
Hopefully, we got to make that. We got to get number four, man. We got to get the four seed. But with that, guys, this week's episode is a wrap. Hope you guys all enjoyed the All-Star weekend and the break from the actual games. Like we said, next week we're back to business as we approach that playoff time. And so all the games are more serious this time. But don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Man to Man Podcast and our Twitter at Man to Man Pod. And make sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Give us those 5 stars and leave your comments and reviews for us. And then for our YouTube fans out there, like we mentioned at the beginning of the episode, we are going to start live broadcasting all of our podcast recording nights to YouTube. So if you want to watch us, you know, just kind of shoot the shit and show you guys how we put together our podcast, come join us. And with that, we will catch you next week.
Pacer Nation, baby.
3 for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.